Yes, so I first spoke with Sherry Jason from the University of Blue Quills last year to discuss the possibility around searching for unmarked graves on the grounds themselves. At that time, she had discussed with me different areas that might be of interest, and we met with some members of the board of Blue Quills as well. And then we had stayed in some contact over the winter months, so during which time it is not really possible to do any ground searching. And then we had reconnected in the spring to talk about possibilities. And so leading up to this, it was very much, you know, what would they like to see done? They invited us to participate in that as an Indigenous-led team. And then we planned to come out for a five-day period to cover as much ground as we could within that time. And it just so happened that this week in August was the best for everyone involved.
It was mentioned that the funding that was given towards this project as well was brought by the Crown Indigenous Relations and Northern Affairs Canada, with also further support coming from university resources. Can you tell listeners a little bit about that?
I'm not sure if I'm the best person to speak on that in terms of how Blue Quills had approached the funding. I can talk about the fact that the Crown and Indigenous Relations and Northern Affairs Canada has been providing funding to nations and organizations to conduct the searching and to do community engagement in order to search for the missing children. And a number of different nations across the country have, and communities across the country have received said funding. In terms of how our team works is that we are very much collaborators on the project. So we come in at request of communities, and we're not, you know, charging for our services in the same way. It's very much, covering sort of basic costs and that kind of thing. And so I think a lot of the support that they were able to bring in for the searching has gone to helping support survivors and community to come together. And also the activities when we were out there, in addition to the searching, there was a lot of ceremony and a lot of wellness supports and that kind of thing present on the site while we were out actually doing the searching.
My next question is for you personally, what does this mean for you to be not only the lead in this project, but also to do this project in this time that we are in with Truth and Reconciliation, in this matter at the former residential school grounds of Blue Quills?
For me, this work is very meaningful. As an Indigenous person, I have a lot of family connections, especially in Alberta, and I have family members who, you know, I attended various schools and were impacted by this system and related systems. I have worked with a number of nations in Alberta on a number of different searches, and I always find the work itself to be very difficult, but at the same time really important. And I find that when we work closely with community members and elders and survivors, there's a strong sense of trying to do this work in a good way and bring some closure and some healing to survivors who have long talked about the children who never came home, as well as their own difficult experiences of abuse and other things at these institutions. So at this moment where there is this increased attention on what we need, the truth that we need to tell about the children who never came home, I just feel really humbled and honored to be able to help in this way and to be able to help provide survivors with some of the answers that they are seeking.
Now, when I spoke to Sherry a while back yesterday in regards to this research being conducted by yourself and your team, how much land was needed to be covered? Because I know you guys had all sat down to talk about where to look, and you spoke with elders that had mentioned you should check in these spots and everything else. So in terms of all of that, how much ground did you guys cover during your research last week?
We covered probably about an acre and a half, I would say, of land, of a very large set of land. So this was very much the beginning of what is likely to be a long journey of searching. And we focused our attention in part in an area that Blue Quills was considering building some more things. They had put in a healing garden, for example, and there was a few other things around there that they were concerned about. But also, certainly where elders and survivors had said some of the areas where concerns had been raised were areas that we sought to cover in this first phase. And in fact, while we were on the ground, we were receiving more information from elders and survivors around areas, and it actually adjusted a little bit where we searched at this particular time around. The Blue Quills, there's a lot of land associated with the school and a lot of areas that still remain to be searched. So this is just very much just the beginning of that journey.
And when can the listeners of CFWE and for Windspeaker Radio Network, when can they expect to see and know of the results that they will hope to hear from you and your team in regards to the search, the research that has been conducted on this land?
Yes, we will probably be able to provide a report back to Sherry and to the organizers and to the impacted communities sometime in the winter. It does take quite a lot of time to process the data that we collect with the ground penetrating radar unit. It can be 5 to 10 times as long as it takes to collect it. And we do have several schools that we searched this summer that we are working on. In terms of how that information then becomes communicated to a broader public, we always follow the lead of the community with whom we work, and in this case with the University of Blue Quills and the impacted nations, to say, how would you like this information to be shared more broadly? And in some cases, communities have chosen to hold sort of a press conference and release the information. Some of the communities we work with don't do that, and they prefer to keep it more internal. So I will follow the lead of the community on how they wish to communicate that, but the earliest that we'd be able to probably provide a report is sometime in the winter.
And you had just mentioned that you work hand in hand with the impacted communities and broader communities and such, and of course the nations are one of those happening to be Satellite Cree Nation and Lac La Biche? Because when I asked Sherry if there would be any outreach towards those two communities where Blue Quills used to reside, especially within Lac La Biche and Saddle Lake, will you and your team make that outreach towards those two communities and say, hey, this is what we did with in St. Paul. We're offering this olive branch to say, well, this is how we can help. Are you willing to take the offer and we can do the same similar thing we had just done in St. Paul?
From my perspective, I mean, I'm happy to share the results and the information with whomever, again, the sort of collective that Blue Quills wishes to share it with. And I think that for me, I want to make sure that all of the impacted communities have an opportunity to learn about the results and also to learn about the ways in which we did the work. We had pipe ceremonies every morning, and a number of our pipe carriers were, for example, from Saddle Lake. And I think there's definitely an opportunity to share the information, to share the process, and ideally to work together toward finding these answers for all of the relatives who had children who attended the Blue Quills school. So again, that decision is not entirely up to me. I work, you know, kind of on behalf of Blue Quills. They invited me in as someone to do the actual ground searches. And I come from a place as well that I really want to support data sovereignty, and I want to support the nations to be able to make decisions about what happens with the data. It's not my data by any means. It's not the University of Alberta's. This is information that we really give back. And then how that works within the community, I will take direction from the communities involved.
Okay, and my final question for you there, Dr. Supernaut, is there anything that you would like to mention within this interview that hasn't already been mentioned, and something that you would like to let the listeners know here at CFWE from what you have done historically for this, in this path of truth or reconciliation, and in this path to, quote-unquote, bring the children home?
Mm-hmm. I think the only other thing I would like to add is that there's so much to this process that goes beyond the ground searching. So this is obviously an important part. And the ground searching itself is going to take a long time, especially at a place such as Blue Quills, where there's so much land that might need to be searched. But the role of the testimonies of survivors and oral histories within community, the role of the archives and what that can help to tell us and point to who might be buried at some of these locations, I think are really important as well. There's been a lot of focus on the ground searching since Tecumloops made their announcement about the ground penetrating radar, and it does have a role to play, but there are many other elements to walking this journey, to telling the story of these children and the truth of what happened to them, and finding ways to meaningfully bring them home to communities in a way that is healing as opposed to causing more harm. And that's what I really hope for, is to be able to do this work in a way that is healing and brings that sense to elders and survivors of being deeply heard, and that there's some accountability and justice for what happened to them and for what happened to those children who never came home.
For Wind Speaker Media News, I'm Daniel Barker Tremblay.